I am not confused, says the Lord. The God of this world thinks that confusion opens a pathway for him, that it opens a door for him. He creates confusion, he creates chaos in order to cause a distraction to get the eyes of my people off of me onto him and onto the situations that consume them. But in me there is no chaos, there is no disorder. For I brought everything into line with who I am through my Son, Jesus Christ. It is that chaos that manifests in sickness, in disease, that chaos that is breaking up marriages and households and governments, that chaos is not of me, for I have am bringing all things into order in my kingdom, declares the Lord. So the chaos that seems to consume you is only to distract you from who I am and what I have done. Keep your eyes on me, declares the Lord. Look unto me, for I am the source of your life. I am the source of your healing. I am the source of bringing you into the unity of my spirit, the unity of my people. That healing will break forth in that place where there is oneness of the Spirit, declares the Lord.
Very, very nice fellowship we had. You know, that word from Gordon, from the Lord, that I wake up in the middle of the night and it's 1, 2, 3, 4. I look at the clock in the afternoon, it's 2, 3, 4, or 4, 5, 6. And you know what the Lord was showing me? It's alignment. It's a divine order. In other words, you know, get your life in order. And it's like the world needs to be in order. And only Jesus Christ can do that. So the more that we share the word and the more we go out and do what we were talking about this morning, the more order will come. But it is chaos. You have strife. The one thing, I'm going to teach on healing tonight, and I'll tell you what, strife will absolutely open the door for the enemy. When you're standing and you're believing God for your healing, you know, make sure those things... Jesus Christ came and did it all for us. When he said it is finished, everything was finished. New birth, healing, prosperity, everything he did for us. And anything that prevents us from receiving from him is not on his end. So any unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, and the enemy will come in with those things, the little foxes, spoil the vine, the little foxes. That I have two favorite scriptures I'm going to share tonight. John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Thank goodness it didn't comprehend it. He'd have tried to snuff it out right away. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that's just what we're to do. Be the light. Be the witness of that light in our communities. What I said this morning, you be the light. No matter where you are, you be the light. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this verse, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But can we even, in our own minds, how can we even imagine that God came down in the form of the seed, the Word, and Mary, who became flesh like us, a man like us? Can we even imagine in our minds what it must have been like for him to leave the Father God, for the Father to give him, I was saying the other night when I was teaching, our son Chip had to have major, major surgery, bone surgery, when he was just a little boy. And it was a long surgery. He was in a cast. He had a tumor in the femur in his leg. And everything was fine. And I took him back for his checkup. And Dr. White looked at me and he said, "It's back." And I looked at Chip and he looked up, little blonde towhead, you know. He looked up at me and he said, "Mom, I don't think I can go through that again." He was 7. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you know what, Chipper? If I could, I would do it for you." And right then I got a glimpse of what it must have been like for the Father God to send Jesus for us. Here he comes as a man for us. You know, and if we stop and we think about what he has already done, he has already done everything. He's taken the stripes. He's taken that beating for us. We just have, that's why the word, you get in the word on healing. Healing comes by listening to the word of God on healing. You read in the New Testament, everywhere in the Gospels, Jesus went teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, thank God you are in a church that teaches healing. So many churches, like the Bible study I taught at the other, I'd never been there before, and of course it was a community type thing, so I had no idea what the background was. There weren't very many Word of Faith people there, I can tell you. I don't know why I want to call you Debbie, Peggy, today. I said that when somebody says, you know, God did this to me, God did that to me, God, you know, he wanted to teach me something. And I said, I know I don't have to defend God. I know God is a big God. I don't have to defend him. But boy, sometimes I have to bite my tongue and walk in love. But you know what? I say now, the God that I know, the Father I know, doesn't do that. So that way, I'm not putting them down, because if they're not taught the truth, they don't know the truth. So, and most of the denominations will teach that. I went to a class years ago, and there was on Renewing Love, it was called. It was a marriage class. And one of the speakers got up and told that her 13-year-old sister got killed, but that was God. And I went over to her and I said, "Then why was she born?" I mean, in your mind, if you even think about it, in your own reasoning, you know that couldn't be God. Not a loving father who sent his son. How could that be? It's not. But that is taught. And it's so sad, because that isn't the God we know, the God of love. God is love. So the word became flesh and dwelt among us and was tempted. He had to have been tempted with pain, with sickness, with every temptation. And yet he resisted. He resisted to the point of sweating blood. That's how much he resisted for us. So I was telling you about the Wanda, the girl that is in the drug court now. And with the help of the Lord, she is resisting those drugs. She said since she was a teenager, and she's 45, she's been on drugs. And she said it is living hell. It is living hell. She said, you'll do anything. Oh, and how these young people, or even older people, are trapped in that, trapped in alcohol, trapped in drugs. And it's so sad because the Spirit of God in her, you can see it. You can see her, the strength in her now coming out. But it's through the Word. She has that hunger. If there's anything we can pray for people, it's for a hunger for the Word. A hunger for the Word. In Psalm 107:20, he says, he sent his Word and healed them. He sent his Word. Jesus is the Word. You take that Word and you start confessing it over yourself, and you will walk in divine health. We have things happen to us like cataract surgery, like a stone. I mean, there are things that sometimes you have to go to a doctor sometimes. But you know what? It's so good to walk in divine health. I'm going to be 76 next week. Chuck's 82. We are so healthy. We are such a testimony. Chuck is in a group. He worked for the government, and they have this group that goes out. He finally had to stop going because they were all actually younger than him, but all they talked about was what was wrong with them or all this. And finally he said, you know what? I can't go. But you know what? It's a testimony to what we glorify God in that. When I go, I do go after, that was 20 years, I didn't even go for a checkup. You can tell I'm a nurse. Not many nurses like going to the doctor. I finally went. And, you know, you have to put down all the medicine you're on and all this stuff. And I am on nothing. Well, it is a testimony to the glory of God. It's a testimony to the Word of God in us that gives us that life. It gives us that life. And you don't, and you have to be so careful now. You don't want to condemn people if there is something wrong. Like the other night, that lady brought up something about Johnny Erickson, you know. Well, praise God, she's been able to go ahead and do what God's called her to do, even in a wheelchair. She has done and glorifies God in her life. But that didn't mean that God broke her neck, you know. But she in the situation she's in, she's glorifying God. And that is the main thing. And that lady the other night said, well, in other words, I was making people feel guilty because I didn't have take medication. And I thought, well, that's the wrong way to look at it. I mean, what I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the Word of God in me, and a testimony to the glory of God. You know, so when anytime we can glorify God in our life, it's not bragging on yourself. You're glorifying God. And like I said this morning, and what Chuck would tell all the people that came, you're the testimony. Sometimes you're the only Jesus people know. So when you have a good report like that, you are glorifying God. Proverbs 4:20. And you know, God has given us that authority. Today, we went out for lunch and we got out of the car and Chuck but felt dizzy, and I thought, you know, devil, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. You know, you're not going to, like I said this morning, he's a turkey and pluck his feathers. We had a friend, I was starting to tell Gordon and Debbie this. We had a friend, Laura, several years ago now. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, and her husband thought, now this is assumption. Remember the book years ago that Fred Price had out on, you know, Faith or Assumption was a good book. Well, he thought he had enough faith for her not to have the surgery. And when it got to a point where it was obvious that she wasn't being healed, you know, Karn, my friend, and I went every day and prayed for her. And it was a beautiful experience because she was so hungry for it. And I believe that she could have and she would have been healed. But in the midst of all this, and it was like a year and a half, when she realized she wasn't going to be healed, she was angry. She was angry at her husband that he would have chosen that for her. The Lord taught me so much working with her. It was in February, and the Lord spoke to me, and we had been praying for her every day. The Lord said, fast and pray. Now listen, when you're praying for somebody that needs healing, and the Lord puts it on your heart, be obedient. Hear from God how to pray for them. And it may be that they'll die. But you know what? You do your part. You know, if he says pray, you do your part. But the Lord said, fast and pray for 24 hours. And we were in a pretty good-sized church at the time. And I asked the different intercessors in the church, and we had a nice group. We prayed. We fasted for 24 hours. And the Lord said, go spend the night in her house. Go sit in her house and pray. So there were three of us that went. And her best friend actually laid in the bed with her and prayed. I sat at the door. The door was like here behind me, and I was in a lounge, a chair in front of the door, and Nancy had fallen asleep on the sofa. And I'm sitting there praying. Oh, my gosh. All of a sudden, this fear. It was just like a spirit of fear. I knew that death angel was at the door. And if I had looked, I would have seen it. That's how real it was. It just, even now, you never get over that. You never forget that, an experience like that. That death angel came to that door, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. I mean, I was like, fear, it just hit you. I mean, everything, just the hair on my head just stood up. It was just a horrible thing. And I sat there, and I said, and all of a sudden, what I was talking about this morning, this anointing came on me, and I said, death angel, you leave this place. You pass over this house. This house belongs to God. The blood of Jesus is on the doorpost, the lintels. You pass over. And it left. So you have to know, you really have to know. Get in the Word and know your authority. Know who you are in Christ. Know your authority. Well, of course, Nancy and Karn knew it. I told them and I told Chuck because it was some experience, I'll tell you. Well, that summer, her mother came up from Florida to visit. And I was sitting there with Laura. And Laura said to her mother, you know, this voice came to me and said, on February the 13th, I'm coming for you. And that was the day that the Lord had me go sit at her door. She would have died that night. If we as intercessors, if we hadn't been prayer warriors. See, that's how important it is. Your prayers are so important. Charles Wesley said, God can do nothing than we don't ask him, that we don't pray. So you have prayer every week here, don't you? It is so important. Prayer is so important for your community. Or if the Lord puts it on your heart for someone to pray. Now, Kathy and Ed, I was real sensitive in the spirit to them when they were in India. It doesn't matter if they 1,000 miles. You know, when you're sensitive to the spirit, you know to pray. And the more you pray in the spirit and the more you listen, the more you're going to be obedient. In Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's why the word, you have got to confess the word, listen to the word, hear the word, be here when the doors are open. Get the word. It's the word that's the life. The word is the life. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That is medicine. In one translation, it says medicine. It's their medicine to all your flesh. Medicine. Chuck was diagnosed, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago with AFib, and he's got the little book of Charles Capps, Power of the Tongue, you know, and the confession. He does that all the time. He prays every morning, every night. He has it by the in the bathroom. He has that book and the scriptures. And so he just keeps confessing it, confessing it, confessing it. And the last time he went for his checkup, the Dr. Wolf said, I don't even know why we have that down. You hardly have any of those symptoms, you know. So it's just a testimony. God is so good. We had headed to Copeland's ministers conference about 4 years, 3 or 4 years ago, and we got to, our daughter lives in Birmingham, Alabama, so we go that far and stay the night before we go on to Texas. And we got there on Friday night, and on Saturday I got sick. I mean, I had diarrhea. It was terrible. I get up, and it was symptoms were awful, awful, awful. I get up to go to the bathroom, and I'd pass out. Well, I didn't tell anybody. I'm really bad about that. But Chuck knew how sick I was. He'd come in. Well, I had this black eye. I passed out on the floor. I mean, I had an iPad with me. I took that. I put it on YouTube, on the healing of Brother Hagin's healing. I went to bed with that iPad. I went to bed with the word. And it was about, 24 hours or so. And I got up. And then they realized how sick I'd been. My daughter's a nurse, too. Well, they just had a fit that I had hidden myself away, let me tell you. Being a nurse, I knew. I said, well, I was too sick to go to the doctor. I was. I couldn't move. Oh, anyway, as it turned out, and I promised everybody, I will go to the doctor. I will go to the doctor. I absolutely promised I would. And I did. When I told her my symptoms, it was really bad. It was called ischemic colitis, which was really bad. My younger sister, who's in California, had the same thing about 6 months before that. She was in ICU for days. She had IVs, she had tubes everywhere. And, I mean, ICU, it took her weeks to get over it. This happened to me on Saturday night. On Wednesday, I was out shopping. So, you know what? That was God. That was God. I mean, it's, and like I said, I never want anybody to ever feel guilty about going to the doctor. A lot of that is my stubbornness, but thank God I know that I can put it on the Word of God, you know. But you know what? He loves us so much. He has provided so much for us. And to take the word, confess the word, believe it, take it, confess it. It is medicine to your flesh. It is medicine. Take it like medicine 3 times a day. I mean, we listen to Brother Hagin every night. We listen to Brother Hagin. We really have separated ourselves, and for years we've done this, from secular television. People talk about television or movies. I mean, and we're not weird. We just don't enjoy it. You know, if you and God gives us all things to enjoy, there's nothing wrong with that. That's why I say we ourselves have to do what God has told us to do. And you know what? If you're disobedient to that, then you're in sin. You know, really. So, but you know, years ago, I would read, oh my goodness, I'd get a good mystery. We had three little kids. I never worked. Thank you, Jesus. I never had to work. I was an RN. But you know, in my heart, I never wanted to work. I wanted to be a mom and a wife. And my husband allowed me to do that. All of the girls that I graduated with, I think all of them went right to work. But we never had that second income, so we didn't have to cut it out, you know. But I loved it. But I would read and read and read mysteries and all this stuff. After I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, though, this gives you an indication of what God will deal with you about. Since I received the baptism, it was like that was the one thing that the Lord said, put that down, put that aside. I've not read a secular book since. And that whatever, you know what? That is, we've been trying to teach our group what it means to be sanctified, to be separate from the world. Like I said this morning, you're in the world, but you don't have to be of it. You can be separated even in the midst of it. And that is the light that will shine. That when you do that, your light will shine. And you know what? This morning when I read our commission, lay hands on the sick. Chuck and I'll go up to Costco shopping or something. You know, we'll run into somebody and we pray for them. Right there, we pray for them right in the store. You know, just all of us lay hands on the sick. You don't have to be anointed to lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on them. And that glorifies God. That glorifies God. So what I really wanted to talk to leave tonight, get in the Word. It's fine to have hands laid on you. That's scriptural. And I will lay hands on anyone tonight that wants hands laid on them. I got a call. I was saying that I have Bible, have gun, will travel. I have Bible, will travel. So many people don't have pastors. They don't have pastors. The people on our street, they call us. I do weddings, funerals, all this stuff. Well, I got called. I had done a wedding for this couple that they lived on our street when our children were growing up together. And she called and she said, Shala, I had married their son. She said, Shala, do you do the other thing? I said, yes, I do, Lucy. She said, my husband is on life support and they're going to take him off in the morning. She said, will you, she wouldn't even say the She never would say funeral. I said, sure, I'll come up, Lucy. I'll come up now, though. I went up there, and he was on a respirator, and they, like I said, 24 hours. The next morning, they were going to take him off. So they called in their kids and everything. And I leaned over to him, and I prayed over him, and I said, Howard, you don't want to die. Jesus died for you. You don't want to die. And laid hands on him and prayed. Well, the next morning, they took him off the life support. And they kept waiting for him to die. And so finally, after a day, they put him in a room. And Chuck and I went up there and actually prayed with him and led him to the Lord. And 3 days later, he went home. And you know what? He lived for 5 years. 5 years. But now that tells me, though, how important one person is to Jesus Christ. Because I don't know who may have been praying for him. Somebody obviously had been praying for his salvation. But Jesus didn't want him to die and go to hell. So he didn't. It was a real testimony, wasn't it? It was neat. You know, isn't that neat to be able to do stuff like that and be used of God to do stuff like that. What a joy to be used of the Lord, and to pray for somebody that doesn't matter if it's a headache, whatever. It doesn't even matter what it is. Just pray for them. You know, just pray for them. God does the rest. If you're obedient, God does the rest. We couldn't heal them that, you know. But the Spirit of God in us, the life that we have in us, wherever we go, the life of God is in us. No matter what situation you're in, just remember that. Remember the life that's in you and who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are, and how important you are to Him, how important you are to the body of Christ. Hey, listen, if we'd all gather together as one unit in the body of Christ, I was in Africa and with Kathy Green, there were three of us, and there, it was in Blantyre, Malawi. And we had gone over to do a minister's conference. This was the most beautiful thing that in my life, in my ministry, that's ever happened in a group. And we were teaching that morning. They had a lot of pastors in the city, but nobody spoke. I mean, they were, for years this had been going on. Well, Kathy had a minister's conference and everybody come. There were about 200 people there, not all ministers. But it was a known fact that none of them got along. Well, at the end of the service, I taught on unity. And at the end of the service, I prayed, it's in Ephesians 4, on unity. And in the Living Bible, that was the only thing. Does anybody have a Living Bible? Mine's a new, but that and this talking about unity, what we can do in the body of Christ in unity is that, you know what? The devil couldn't stop us if we would all get in unity. But I prayed that prayer over those pastors. Let me see if I can find it. And here it is. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, this was directed at those ministers sitting. They were all in the front. And with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. I prayed that, and the Spirit of God fell in that place, and there were, like I said, about 200 people there. Well, they bring their babies. You know, they don't have a nurse or anything. They bring their babies. Do you know that heart of the Father for unity in our body? The presence of the Lord just settled. It was just like a cloud coming in. You couldn't visibly see it, but you could feel it. Just came and just landed in that place. And nobody moved. It must have been 5 minutes. The babies didn't cry. But you know what? That showed me the heart of the Father for walking in love, for walking. Just like Gordon had that word from the Lord, confusion and chaos is not from God. But if He can cause it in a community, in a church, in a family, if He can cause that, then causes that strife, then every evil work will come in. So we strive for unity. We strive for unity in our family especially, because then when we start praying for other people, praying for each other, and we have that unity and that agreement, especially with the husband and wife in agreement, then, you know, the devil can't eat our goods. He can't, those little foxes, you know, you just stomp on them. Just, they're under your feet. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. down. We look down on him. And know that. Know your authority. When you get a symptom, know your authority. Know. Take authority over it. Get in the Word. Know who you are. So, anyway, this Keith Moore has wonderful teachings. And he has, you can go on his website, faithtrainers.com, and print off. It's 101 scriptures on healing. And you just start reading those scriptures. You know, just fill yourself with those scriptures. And then when the enemy comes against you with symptoms or someone in your family or in your community or in your church, you've got that sword of the Spirit. Just cut him in pieces. Use that word. But you can download these and then print them off. And it's wonderful just to read them, just to have them. Just read them. Read them and get them in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So whatever you put in there is what's going to come out. So you put the word in. Thank God you're in a church. We were telling them, we have a lot of churches in Winchester. There's one on about every corner. But you know what? We don't have a word. We have a word of faith in our home, in our church. We have a house church. But we don't have a word of faith church in Winchester. Now, a lot of good churches there. But you know, the word of faith, the word, to emphasize the word of faith. You're so blessed to have that. We get his teachings and we share when they come over. You know, and iron sharpens iron, you know, and you whet your appetite, you know, with talking about the Word. Just talk about how beautiful Jesus is, how beautiful the Word is. But if there's anyone that needs hands laid on you tonight that you want, do you need hands laid on you? Do you? Okay. Do you want to come? You don't want to. You can't do that. And you know they were telling me you need to be three people. I believe it. You need to be three people. Yes, come up, honey. Chuck, you come with me. You know what it says? Lay hands, lay hands, lay hands. And you're a vessel, you're laying hands. Well, let me tell you. And expect God to heal. Expect God to do things. It's that turkey. The only thing that he's good for is to roast. That's right. Well, thank you, Father. And what was your name?
Nancy.
Nancy. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for that healing anointing on Nancy, Father. Oh, we take authority over these symptoms and we say, you be gone. You be gone. That healing anointing, Father, that destroys any yoke of bondage in her. We say healed in the name of Jesus. Healed, Father. Healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for that healing, Father. Total healing. Restoration in her eyes, Father. Her sinuses, Father. Total restoration in her body. In Jesus' name. A hunger for Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for that love, Father.
Thank you, God.
Your love, Father.
Thank you, God.
Mm.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
precious.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you are. It is finished. That prayer, give her that hope, Father God. Hope in you, Father. Hope in you, Lord. We thank you. We bind the devil from her. We thank you, Father God, for people coming across her path, Father God, to show her the love of Jesus. Love of Jesus, Father God. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you for her heart. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you a hug. Well, God watches
several
over
times a day.
Good. God watches over that word to perform it. Hi. Good. Jesus Christ, total
yes.
Agreement. Debbie is healed from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. The stones are rolled away in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name. No more, no more attacks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Did you? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. You stay in the hands and deliver this tension, Father, in his shoulders. Oh, yes, Lord. Just a supernatural rest. A supernatural rest. Supernatural relaxation in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for that, Lord. That supernatural rest, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody. Amen, everybody. Take the word and go. Let me put that back on here. We don't want anything on this new carpet. I sure have enjoyed being with you all. It's been such a blessing, such a beautiful day.
God is so good, isn't he? He is awesome. Shalom, go in peace. Hallelujah.